Jesus wants me to be loving and kind to all I see, showing how pleasant and happy his little one can be. A sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam for Jesus. I can if I but try, serving him moment by moment, then live with him on high. A sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam.
Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us, this radio broadcast today, to be a light, a sunbeam for you, going out in this dark world of sin. We ask that every aspect of it might be to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Souls might be won to you, Christians might be edified. We pray it in that precious name of all, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
The fifth string. One Sunday, I gave the children's message during the church's worship service. Since I enjoyed playing the five-string banjo, I used it as an example of the church, the body of Christ. I showed the children that the banjo has five strings, but that the fifth string is much shorter than the others, just as they are shorter than the adults in our church. Also, the fifth string usually is not noted or fretted as often as the others, so it gets a little less attention, just as they, the children, may not get as much attention as the other members of the church. But this doesn't mean that they are any less important to the life of the church. I showed how that shorter fifth string is tuned to the highest pitch of the five strings, which enables it to sound a bright, cheerful tone, without which any tune played would not be nearly as pleasing. I played a short tune without striking the fifth string, and then the same tune using the fifth string. What a difference! All members of the church are important in spreading the gospel message, as well as many other functions of being the church. The talents of all members, children included, should meld with others to spread the love and joy that Christ gives to everyone.
Service of the King.
Good morning, and it's good to be in the service of the King. We want to thank you for tuning us in this morning. This is the old-fashioned Gospel Hour brought to you by the Clear Creek Congregation. At this time, Kathleen Four is coming. She's going to be singing, Bringing in the Sheaves.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master, though the loss sustained, our spirit often grieves. When the weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
The Candy Lady. Everyone at my church loves to see Cindy coming. Before worship, she walks around the sanctuary with a tin of assorted candies, talking and laughing with people as they find their seats. She offers treats to everyone in the congregation. Her container overflows with peppermints, butterscotch, and lollipops. A bag containing sugar-free candy dangles from her arms, so no one is left out. Watching Cindy each week, I marvel at what a simple but important ministry of hospitality she started. She saw a small opportunity to serve and has steps up to take it. Along with candy, she hands out smiles and encouragement, and I can't think of a more inviting way to approach visitors. No need for questions. Cindy merrily holds out her tin and becomes instant friends with everyone who walks through the door. Ministries don't have to be big or complicated. As we grow and love God, our love for God's people grows too. It was this love Peter wrote about when he instructed his readers to show hospitality to one another, 1 Peter 4:9. Peter told them that to use their gifts in service, we can offer the gift of hospitality. Dear God, show us how to offer hospitality to those we meet today. May our actions point others towards you and your redeeming love. Amen.
Jesus bids us shine.
We would like to say thank you once again for tuning us in this morning. This is the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you on WSKE 104.3 FM. Once again, Kathleen Ford is coming. She's going to be singing This Little Light of Mine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. For right under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. It's gonna shine for you and me, I'm gonna let it shine. It's gonna shine for you and me, I'm gonna let it shine. It's gonna shine for you and me, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
In just a moment, our pastor's wife is gonna be giving you a children's story, but just before that, the group is going to be singing Pass It On.
Start their blooming. That's how
No reservations. Come on, Jeb Miller stood at the front door with his keys in his hand. We need to be at the airport in 30 minutes. He continued to yell to his family, just waiting for them to load up so that they could finally leave the house. The entire family was going on a much-needed vacation. They had worked together to choose a destination they would all enjoy, and they had all saved money for what seemed like a very long time, and now Jeb was anxious to hurry up and relax. I'm here, yelled Charity, one of the kids. She walked out the open door, bumping her suitcase along behind her. There's one, Jeb smiled. I need three more. Connor, his son, came banging down the stairs with his suitcase. At least the steps were carpeted, so there was only a thump every time the suitcase moved down one. There's two, Jeb hollered back into the house. We're coming, his wife Patty said with a smile on her face. Jeb took little Tommy's suitcase. I got it. You two get in the van and get buckled up. The ride to the airport was uneventful in spite of the excitement in the van. They all got through airport check-in and security quickly and painlessly. Before long, they were in the air and officially on vacation. Pretty much everyone slept on the plane since they had to get up super early, and also because they wanted to be raring to go once they landed and checked into the hotel. After they got off the plane, Jeb was very glad that Patty had arranged a car to pick them up and take them, along with all their luggage, to the hotel. Jeb was hungry and antsy as he stood in line at the desk waiting to get the keys to the room. The man in front of him seemed a little agitated. He raised his voice, and not only could Jeb hear what was going on, but so could everyone in the hotel lobby. The desk clerk was trying to calm the man down. I'm sorry, sir, but I don't see any reservations for you. Look under my wife's name, he suggested. The clerk did so. He shook his head. I'm sorry, nothing. What do you mean? The man asked rather loudly. There's nothing on my computer. The clerk held his hands out to emphasize his point. But I made reservations myself, the man said just as emphatically. Did you print out a receipt? The clerk asked. No. Do you have a confirmation email on your cell phone? I don't own a cell phone. Sir, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to step aside. I'll get a manager to try and help you. As far as I can see, you have no reservations, and we are completely booked. Grudgingly, the man stepped aside and allowed Jeb to step forward. Jeb gave their information to the clerk, who immediately pulled up the reservation. Here are your keys, Mr. Miller. Please let me know if there's anything I can do for you while you're here. Enjoy your stay. As they walked past the other family, the man growled. Jeb and Patty just looked at each other. They heard the kids behind them snicker. The rest of the day was kind of a blur as the family crossed some of the things they wanted to do off their list. By evening, they were all exhausted from their travels and the excitement of being on vacation someplace new. But to Jeb, that was not a good enough excuse not to have family devotions together. All right, everyone, come gather around, he called out. There were some complaints. I'm tired and want to go to bed. I need to take a shower. Stand up if you need to keep yourself awake. In addition, do not worry, you will have plenty of time to shower. This won't take too long. I've just had something on my mind all day and wanted to share it with you all. The kids plopped down on the couch while Patty sat in the rocking chair next to Jeb. I know we already talked, and I heard you kids giggle a little bit about that family that was trying to check in ahead of us, he began. It's really kind of sad, Patty commented, shaking her head. It would be disappointing to go on vacation only to be turned away at the last moment. That's exactly what I wanted to talk about tonight. I think there's something worse. Jeb pulled out his Bible and read from John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Since we all have already trusted in Christ as our Savior, we have a home waiting for us in heaven. I am sure that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But what about those who aren't sure? What will it be for them to think they're going to heaven when they die, only to be turned away by God? Everyone had solemn looks on their faces. Suddenly, not having reservations did not seem funny at all. Here's another verse, Revelation 21:27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Jeb continued, And remember when the man asked the clerk to check under his wife's name? Everyone nodded their heads in response. When we get to heaven, we can't check in under someone else's name. It won't matter who we knew or who our parents or grandparents were. We need to make the decision to trust in Christ as our Savior for ourselves. And it must be our names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The kids looked a little sober. Jeb thought it might be just be because they were tired. But then Charity responded, I almost wish we could have done something for them. Jeb nodded his head. I have felt that way for some of my family and friends over the years that I've witnessed to. I want to do everything for them to help them gain access to heaven, but all I can do is keep praying for them to be saved. If we had a lot of money, maybe we would have been able to help that family out. But there's no amount of money that can buy someone's salvation. It's a matter of the heart for each and every individual. Well, I guess we should pray for that family and anyone we know who are not saved, said Connor. And we should thank God that our names are in his book, said Patty. Well, I'm glad that I have Christ as my Savior, Connor said with a grin on his face. Me too, said the other children. Jeb finished by saying, Just like the clerk welcomed us with open arms, I know God will welcome us.
This man in the story was very distraught and disturbed and upset because he thought that he had a reservation, that he was there at that motel, hotel, whatever it is, a resort, and they could not find him. That is going to be a terrible time after we die, standing before God, and they can't find our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That will be a tremendously and eternally sorry time for some people. Some people think that they are going to get in because of their good works or because they belong to the church. They've joined the church. Maybe they taught Sunday school or maybe they even preached. And they're going to stand there before God, not going to find their book, their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a time that is going to be, a terrible time. So we need to make sure. This is the purpose of the old-fashioned gospel hour, to bring the truth to people, preach the truth, teach the truth, that the Lord will speak to your hearts, that you will surrender completely and totally to him. And you'll be sure, as the songwriter says, my name's written there on those pages white and fair. My name's written there. Is your name written there? You need to get right with God. Well, last week I asked the question, how long did Rehoboam reign? That was the son of Solomon. How long did he reign as king? Well, 1 Kings 18:21 says 17 years. Now, someone looked up and they do some research, and I appreciate when they do that. And they said the years that he lived and when he died and all, it doesn't match up to 17 years. So I do some research on that, and I'll get back to you on that after I finish my research. But here are those that had the right answer. Paul and Joanne Peachy, Lisa Miller, Tasha and Rob Foltz, Mike and Patty Feaster, Marlon and Donna Jane Lynch, Rick and Tanya Valentine, Arlene Price, Justin Mills, Vaughna Beverly Mills, Leslie Miller, Mark and Linda Householder, Marlon and Donna Jane Lynch, and Mark and Deb Rosentrader. All these had the right answer, and we appreciate the good job that each one does in looking up the answer, calling it in, texting it in. That's fine. Text it in to my cell phone if you have the right answer. That's 814-977-6642, or just call on the landline, 814-652-6409. And we appreciate that when people look it up and say something just don't match up there. There are times in the scripture when things just don't match up, like numbers. Numbers sometimes don't match up when you have 100,000 and then you only have 10,000 or something like that. So why does it match up? Well, the Hebrew language, there are little points like dots, And if you forget that dot, it can make a difference of 10, 20, or 30,000, depending upon it is. And so there could be a copyist error in something. So appreciate that, what everyone does. You're listening to the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you over the Everett Radio Station, WSKE 104.3 on the FM dial. We invite you to come worship with us here at Clear Creek. We're located a mile and a half south of Everett along Route 26. Sunday school begins at 9:30, worship at 10:30, Sunday nights and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Now, in case of snow like we had in this past week, you wonder, your church may be canceled, say, are you open? Give us a call. We call out to all our people in the church here, and if it wouldn't be your church, but you're going to visit, call ahead if you have a snowstorm like we did last week, and we will be sure and let you know. We don't want you traveling in that. If we don't want our own people traveling in that. If you're in the Breezewood area, Brother Ron Hott, pastor of the Mountain Chapel Church, invites you there. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship at 10:30, Sunday night's at 6 p.m. Then down in the Fishertown area, people of the Spring Hope Church invite you there. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship at 10:30 every second and fourth Sunday night at 7 p.m. Then down Hindman Way, Glad Tidings Tabernacle Church, pastored by Nathan Elliott. They invite you there. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship at 10:30. And then out Cottle's Corners Way, this side of Hopewell, along 26, Yellow Creek Church, pastored by Kenny Heinisch. They invite you there. Sunday school's at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Now this morning here at the Clear Creek Church, we have a special speaker, Jonas Heith. He's been here before. He's going to be here preaching this morning in the morning service. And then the evening service, our young people have charge of the service. And always a good time for them. Things that they do, sometimes they have debates. Sometimes they have a panel where you have people from the church and they ask questions and they don't know what those questions are going to be. Sometimes they play Bible trivia or some other things like that. So come out and join us here, 7 o'clock. This evening here at the Clear Creek Church. This morning I want to read from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 18. Paul says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." God has called all Christians out of darkness into his marvelous light, as Peter said, and he's placed us into his family, in the family of God, sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And because of his great love, he sent Jesus to die for our sin and then forgave any and all who would come to him, confess their sin, turn from them, and trust in Christ's finished work. Now, he didn't save us so that we could just be a better person. Now, we will be a better person after we get saved, but he saved us so that we could be part of his great work in restoring mankind to righteousness. That's why Jesus gave the great command to the disciples after the resurrection. And before the ascension, he says, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all men." That's part of that. So he saved us for that, restoring man to righteousness. Now, not all are going to be restored. Not all are going to be saved. But our job is to be faithful. We have to recognize that we are not our own, but we belong to him. Listen to what Paul says. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" Now, these women that say, "It's my body," well, they're definitely not Christian. They don't know. Once we get saved, our body does not belong to us. It belongs to God. Some say, well, I just live any way I want to. I just eat and do whatever I want to. I won't go to the doctor and yada, yada down the way. Well, they're disobeying God. You're not taking care of God's property properly. Therefore, we are called to yield our body and soul and spirit for his use. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, we are one body in Christ. We are his body on this earth. His hands and feet and eyes and so on like that. Now, it does not mean that he cannot see, hear, and so on. It's not that at all. But he wants us to be used to be his presence, his physical presence on this earth. As a songwriter says, to be his hand extended, reaching out to fallen man. This is what God wants us to be. His hand extended. So, in being his hand extended, Paul talks about yielding our members to him and not yielding his members to sin. So, we want to look at some of those members here this morning. He wants us to yield our members to righteousness and not to sin. First off, what about our minds? Oh, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our minds are wonderful things. And there are diseases out there that affect the mind, and they're terrible. That terrible disease of Alzheimer's, dementia, and people don't even know who they are, their loved ones, and oftentimes they turn mean when they get that, and they use bad language. Well, they never used bad language before. Well, they're not responsible anymore because they're not in their right mind. So our minds are wonderful as long as we keep them. And it's because of the original sin of Adam and Eve that happens, that Alzheimer's and all those. And our minds are to be used for God. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's no saying that says junk in, junk out. So if we fill our heads, our minds, with junk, then that's what's going to come out. If we fill our minds with nothing but secular ideas and thoughts, etc., then we're going to become secular. If we fill our heads with the junk of the world, then that's what's going to come out of us. Now, just reading a report here, President Trump was just inaugurated this past Monday, next president, and we're glad for that because I think he's going to do some good. Doesn't mean the man is a Christian just because he's going to do good. He's conservative. He knows what has been happening before with the liberals. But just to show you how much our minds are affected by wrong teaching and so on like that, it said 70% of the people does not approve of him getting out of the Paris Accord. Now, the Paris Accord has to do with the new Green Deal. And so they say, well, we got to make all things green, you know, electric cars and everything like epic, all the global warming and so on like that. But there's no such thing as global warming. Well, this past week, I ought to tell you that. Wednesday, look at the temperature, -5. And that's global warming? Say, well, that only happened. Yeah, there's no such thing as global warming. I know a man that was on the committee that went around to collect the temperatures of the world, and he told me, he said, there are places that do not keep the temperature like we do, and so you stay a couple of days, and then you average your temperature, and you bump it up to make it look like there's global warming, because if you don't, the federal government cuts off the money to the university. But now, you see, these guys that are on the committee and those that know, they're retiring, and you can't shut them up. And so instead, they don't publish them, and then the liberal news won't let them speak out and so on. So they changed it from global warming to climate change. Well, you have to be an idiot to say the climate isn't changing. And so, but it's a thing, normal thing. Every so many hundred years, the Earth goes through a climate change. So this is people's thinking, and so our minds and thoughts. You see, if we watch too much TV or videos, or even stuff on the internet, or our phones, that our minds can be corrupted and be shaped like that of the world. The liberal news media, as I just said, pushes their agenda and subliminally brainwashes people against Christianity and Christians. Some years ago, there was a man who bombed people and killing some, and they called him the Unabomber. Well, they labeled him as a right-wing fundamentalist. Well, Christians are often called right-wing fundamentalists because we're on the right. We are right. And we're fundamental in our beliefs. And so they call us that. So when this man was caught, the people were subverted into associating him with conservative Christians. Oh, is that what Christians are like? Going around killing people by bombing them. You see, it affects their minds. I say evil affects their minds. It is. So the seed was sown. And many people kept feeding on this biased, perverted, and false labels. And soon, many other began believing that Christians were the same as that Unabomber. See, the movie and television industry pushes foul language on us as well. Movies set back in days, years ago, they liberally use bad language, liberally use language that was not even around then. The F word, in particular. We have to be careful that what we put into our minds. Watching too much of the world's filth will make our minds filthy. Some of these words weren't even around then, just like the word zit. In my day, it was acne, pimples, and they call them zits now. That was coined after my day. And some of you out there listening to me, you know the same thing. It wasn't there. The word computer was not in the dictionary when I was growing up. Neither were computer chips and all these things. They weren't in the dictionary when we were growing up because when they first came out, computers were as big as a wall. So they try to affect our minds. See, watching too much of the world's filth will make our minds filthy. We need to fill our minds with Bible reading or Christian books or Christian viewing like DVDs, videos, and so on like that. That's why we have that at our church here. We have a library with good Christian books as well as VHSs, if you have that type of thing, DVDs, so that you can watch good Christian material. Fill your head with those things. We need to train our minds with godly conversation as well, so that we can critique secular evils. If we read improper material, we can stand against the error that they propagate. Peter says that, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." Now the word that is used for answer there is the word for apologetic or defense. Filling our minds with proper information enables us to defend the faith. When we read the Bible and or Christian material, we can become more like Jesus. We can achieve a holy walk. If we're going to grow in our faith and holiness, it has to begin with our mind and our thinking. God says, "Come now and let us reason together." You see, reasoning is of the mind. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be wool. Come now, let us reason together, you see. See, if we're going to grow in our faith and holiness, it has to begin with our mind and our thinking. Paul says this. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things," filling our minds with the proper things. Well, then, how about our eyes and ears? Eyes and ears are members of our body as well. We receive ideas and impressions through the eyes and through the ears. Therefore, we have to guard what we see and what we hear. We must yield them, our eyes and ears, up to God as instruments of righteousness. Achan serves as a good example. Now, you remember who Achan was. Achan was with Joshua when they came out of the promised land, came out of the Egypt and went into the promised land. He was a young boy. When the other ones were there, he was less than 20 years old. He would be in around 40 years old, 39 probably years old. They went into the promised land, and they attacked Jericho. Well, God knocked the walls down. They went in, and everything in Jericho was dedicated to God, everything. Animals, people, material things, code, all of it was dedicated to God. And so when they went in, he took some of the things and he hid them. And that was a sin. And the whole nation suffered from that. When they went to attack the city of Ai, a number of the Israelites were killed. And Joshua prayed. And God said, get up off your knees, don't pray. He said, there's sin in the camp. Well, how did that come about, that Achan did that? Listen, they finally found out who it was that did it. And Achan came, they found him brooding forth. And listen what Achan said. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver is under it. You see, Achan's eyes became instruments of wickedness when he saw, and then he lusted after what he saw. He said, I coveted them. See, that's one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. Our eyes are used and ears are used in that. See, by the age 21, researchers say by the age 21, the average American has been exposed to 300,000 commercial messages, and all of them arguing that personal gratification is the dominant goal in life. Did you hear that? 300,000 commercial messages, and their dominant theme is that self-gratification is to be it. They urge acquisition of things before godliness. In order to prevent our minds from being evil affected by these, we need to fill our minds with equal or more spiritual things than the secular does. See, when our eyes and ears are overbalanced with secular and evil things, we become secular and evil. Jesus said, take heed what you hear, and he also said, take heed how you hear it. Job said this, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. We see something, and you know, it's a normal thing. Children see toys or stuff, and they want it. I remember years ago when I was a boy, and I saw my neighbor over there, and he's walking around. And he had, of course, back in those days, you had recycled bottles. Some are old enough. They remember what I mean about you had bottles, soda bottles that were recycled. If you empty them, you know, you send them back, get money for them, they refill them, scrub them out and refill them. And he was over there and had this bottle. And I saw he had this lemon type of stuff that was there. Oh, and you know, that made me thirsty for it. And I wanted to get a bottle of that. Because I thought, wow, that would probably taste pretty good. I began to want that, lust after it. And then as I watched my neighbor, he went along and he took that bottle of what I thought was soda and he started pouring it on the ground. I thought, what is he doing? Well, he was a fisherman. And it was a little bit of dry time in the summer. So he went around and found a hole in the ground where a worm was. And he poured that down in it, and up would come that worm, and he'd get it, put it in a little can. And here, what he had was mustard water in that. You see, we need to be careful what we lust after. How about the tongue? The tongue has the power of good and evil, and how we use it is extremely important. We don't have to plunge the world into world wars, to get, you know, things wrong and so on like that. All we have to do is gossip, false information and so on like that, and it can cause a lot of problems. Hitler did this to turn the people against the Jews, and the liberal politicians and leaders do this to turn the people against Christ and Christianity. People use their tongues to slander, to lie, to gossip, and to gain more advantage and control over people. When Trump was in the last time, look at all the lies and the tongues wagging about that. And look at the tongues that are wagging now. Why, that young lady that sang the song at the inauguration, then some people criticized her for it. And they just want to criticize. Their tongues just can't stop wagging. You know, some people need to have about 6 feet of their tongue pulled out and on the altar and cut off is what they need to have, because they can't stop talking about other people. They use their tongues to slander and gossip. Look at the amount of people who have bought into the lie I said before about global warming. They blame the wildfires in California and global warming, and they try to change people's thinking into globalism in order to make a profit for that. James says the tongue is set on fire of hell, and it's an unruly evil. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And then the writer of Proverbs says this, "Life and death are in the power of the tongue." Oh, the old saying, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, and words can never hit me." Well, that's a lie. Words can hurt. They can cut deep into you. And people can say things. People can change the course of things with their words. During the Civil War, Ulysses Grant was leading men, and the battle went bad, and his men began to run. He got on his horse and rode back behind them, ahead of them. They were in full retreat. And he held his horse in front of his men, and he set up and held his hand up, and they stopped. And he says, "Men, the Confederate soldiers are getting away. We can't let them get away. Go get them." And they turned around, and they won the battle. Words are powerful. We need to be careful what we say. Instead, we need to use our tongues as instruments of righteousness, praising God, singing, and making melody in our hearts. That's what we need to do with our tongues. How about our hands and feet? Other members. With our hands, we perform actions and duties. And with the feet, we are transported from place to place. Now, I realize there are people out there that are crippled. Some can't use their hands, and when you get old, you get arthritis in your hands, you can't grip like you used to, and you have problems walking and so on like that. But our hands and feet are instruments, and you need to use them for righteousness. Paul said, "Work with your own hands, as we commanded you." Some people, they just want to mooch off everybody else. They don't want to work. Paul says if a man's not going to work, he shouldn't eat. You know, there are people out there that they want to use their hands and feet for all kinds of evil things, but they don't want to do good things. Paul says, "Work with your hands that you may walk honestly toward them that are without." Our feet are to be used as instruments of righteousness and not sin. The scripture said, "How beautiful are the feet on the mountains that bear good news." In other words, the feet take you to the places to bear good news, to tell people about Jesus Christ. See, our hands are used as instruments to help people. Reach out to fallen man. Reach out to them. Help them up. In some way, help them. See, where do our feet take us? Where do they take? We used to sing the song, the children's song, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go." And that's it. They are to be instruments of righteousness. Do your feet take you to Sunday school and church or not? Do your hands reach out to shake hands of others and pat them on the back, or give them a hug, or to take a child and pat them on the head and to help someone up? What do your hands and your feet do? See, what do your eyes see? What do your ears hear? What are your hands doing? For every secular book you read, read a spiritual book or two. For every secular listening you listen to more in Christianity. For every secular event you attend, go to more events that are spiritual. Go to secular events as a witness for Jesus Christ. This is what we've got to do. We've got to use our members as instruments of righteousness for God. Now, some only have one arm or maybe one leg, and some maybe soldiers come back, they don't have any legs. They would love to have legs such as yours. You go to the wrong places so that they could come to church. They could go to church and walk, and many of them do in their wheelchairs. Paul says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, yield your members as righteousness unto holiness. What are you doing with your members? Remember, if you're a Christian, your body belongs to God. All belongs to Him. You're a steward of it. Father, I pray for all those listening to my voice. I pray for the unsaved especially, they might recognize their lostness and turn to you. I pray, Father, for every Christian out there that recognize that they are to use their members as instruments of righteousness unto holiness and to serve you. I pray it in Christ's holy name. Amen. We'll be right back.